Matthew 23, verse 37. Jesus makes a very interesting statement. And here's what He says. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thee together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. We could talk a lot about what's in that verse. But there's one thing as I was reading that verse that stood out to me. And it was this. Missed opportunity. Here were the Jews. Individuals who lived in a covenant relationship with the Almighty God. Individuals who had been given the law of Moses. Individuals who lived in the capital city of the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, and had access to the temple constantly. Individuals who had been taught about the coming Messiah, and now they lived in the very days of the Messiah Himself. They had heard the prophets. They had heard faithful men of God, and now they hear the voice of the Messiah Himself. And yet, Jesus said, they would not. I don't know about you. I feel sorry for those individuals, don't you? I feel sorry for them. Folks, here are individuals who could have known Jesus. And I don't mean knowing by faith the way you and I know Him. They could have literally got to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They could have been literal followers of Jesus. He would have wrapped His arms around them, taking them under His wing just as a hen does her little chicks. These individuals could have been saved, couldn't they? If only they had heeded the message of the prophets, if only they had heeded the message of the men of God, if they had just listened to the words of Jesus, those individuals could have been saved. They put their souls in jeopardy by rejecting the divine Son of the living God. All summarized in those little words, and ye would not. Missed opportunity. The reality is, though, that life for all men is filled with missed opportunities, isn't it? And my friends, that is the title of our lesson. We're going to be talking about 5 points in this lesson. And we want to begin with this. The definition of opportunity. When you look up the word opportunity in dictionary.com, it is defined as this. An advantageous combination of circumstances. I want you to underline the word advantageous. They are to the individual's advantage. It is good for him. Wiktionary gives this definition of opportunity. A chance for advancement, a chance for progress, a chance for profit. Isn't that what life is supposed to be all about? Every one of us, every day, are trying to advance ourselves. We are trying to progress. We're trying to get better. We're trying to make even more profit to our lives. Here's a real simple definition of opportunity. Being at the right place at the right time, now note this, and taking advantage of those right things. Question. Were the Jews in the city of Jerusalem at the right place? Oh yes. They were at the right place. Were the Jews in the city of Jerusalem there at the right time? Oh yes. The very presence of the Son of God was in that city, wasn't it? But Jesus said, and ye would not. Right place, right time, and yet what happened? They refused to take advantage of the right things. Had they would have been blessed with opportunity, wouldn't they? Let's talk secondly. Life's opportunities, folks. Life is just filled, isn't it? With opportunity. There's all kinds of opportunities that come around. Sometimes we are at the right time, aren't we? Sometimes we go to a meeting and we wonder why we're there, and yet by the time the meeting is over, we go, wow, I am so thankful that I was at that meeting. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you wondered, why did I meet this individual? Why did I talk to this individual? But by the time it was over, it was a blessing to your life. Sometimes there are events that happen in our lives. There are classes that we take. There are people who come into our lives, and every one of these things present us with a host of opportunities, don't they? Sometimes people are born with opportunities, aren't they? Sometimes individuals are born into families that have Christian parents. I was thinking about Timothy. Timothy had a Gentile father who was not a Christian. But Timothy had a Christian mother. And that Christian mother and grandmother instilled into Timothy the faith of the gospel of Christ. And Paul made mention of it in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Question. Do you think Timothy was thankful that he had an opportunity to be brought up by a Christian mother? What an opportunity, folks. Now, there's a lot of individuals who will despise this next comment. Folks, you and I are blessed because we were born in the United States of America. Are we a perfect nation? No, we are not perfect. Thank God I was not born in Russia. Thank God I was not born in the Ukraine and living there right now in the midst of war and bloodshed. Thank God I am not a person who is living and residing in Venezuela right now. You know, I often think, why was I born in the United States of America? There are millions and millions of people born every year in all kinds of places, and Vic was born in the United States of America. Folks, that is a blessing, and it has presented me with opportunity that others do not have. Good health. Isn't it interesting? Almost every baby is born with good health. Now, yes, there are occasions when a child is born and that child is unhealthy. He may have a disease, he may have a sickness, he may have something wrong physically with his body, but for the most part, if you were to look at all the children that are born, they are all born with what? good health. God makes certain those little babies come into this world healthy and wholesome and able to survive with the help of their mom and dad. That's a blessing, isn't it? Most of us were born into families where we got some pretty good schooling, didn't we? My mom and dad moved from New Bern, Tennessee, which is the little town that I was born in. Well, I was born in Dyersburg, but Dyersburg was the big city that had the hospital where I was born. They moved to Memphis, and they bought this house purposely where they did because there was an elementary school, a junior high, and a high school within walking distance of the house. They knew this is where we're staying till our kids are all graduated. In college, Memphis State wasn't much further than those schools were from me. Moses had the privilege of being in a family where he got an education, didn't he? The Bible tells us in Acts 7 verse 22 that he was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. What a blessing that was. What about a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus was raised as a Jew. He grew up in the city of Tarsus, but when it came time to school him around the age of 14, he was moved to the city of Jerusalem. And he says, I was trained at the feet of Gamaliel in all the ways of the law. What a blessing that he received. And folks, I don't know about you. For the most part in my life, I've known peace and prosperity. At least in the nation itself. Very seldom have I ever had to wake up and be worried as to what's going to go on in my world today. Is a bomb going to blow up in my building? Is someone going to ransack my house? Am I going to be arrested? Am I going to be murdered? I don't have to worry about that. Folks, it is a blessing to be born in peace and prosperity. And it provides unbelievable opportunities for us, doesn't it? But you know, there's a lot of other ways that you and I obtain our blessings and opportunities in this life. Sometimes we search out our own opportunity, don't we? Jesus told a parable entitled The Parable of the Pearl of Great Price. There was a man, he would walk around town and he would see ladies wearing their pearls. He'd see some little pearls, he'd see some medium-sized pearls, and he'd see some big pearls. And he got it in his mind, you know what? There has to be the pearl of great price that is out there. And the Bible says this, that he, listen to the text, searched out the pearl of great price. He searched it out, folks. I'm going to go to every port. I'm going to go to every store. I'm going to go to every individual until, guess what? I find the pearl of great price. What about Zacchaeus? Did he make his own opportunity? Oh, yes. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans and that he was very rich, but he heard Jesus was coming to town, didn't he? When you look at Luke 19 verse 3, the Bible says this, and he sought him out. That little Zacchaeus, he said, I'm going to see Jesus and I don't care what it takes. Now the song says he was a wee little man. He's like Vic. And he gets up there to see Jesus and guess what? There's all the press, is there not? There's all these people lining the streets and he couldn't see Jesus. He could have just gone home. Well, I can't see anyway. I just go home. Oh, no. Little Zacchaeus climbs up in the sycamore tree. The Savior for to see, the Bible says, doesn't he? And guess what? He gets to see Jesus, doesn't he? He not only sees Jesus, he talks to Jesus. He not only talks to Jesus, he gets to have Jesus in his house and eat with him. Salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus that day. Why? Because he sought him out, folks. Opportunity. You know, most individuals go to school educate themselves, train themselves. Why? Because they have a job they want, don't they? You see, that's us seeking out our own opportunities. But sometimes, we just stumble on opportunities, don't we? We don't know they're coming. We don't even know they're out there. And Jesus talked about that with regard to salvation as well in what is known as the parable of the hidden treasure. Jesus says a man went out into a field, and guess what? All of a sudden, he found a treasure. He didn't even know it was there. It wasn't even his field. He went back, he sold everything that he had in order to buy that field because he knew the treasure was there. Wow. Hidden opportunities, unseen opportunities. I was working with the children's home down in Hialeah, Florida. I've been there about 7 months or so, and all of a sudden two guys come from the Gospel Broadcasting Network and spoke down there. One of them was a guy by the name of Gary McDade. And the other one was Mike Hickson. Now, Gary was the director of GBN. I knew Gary. They didn't even know I was down in Hialeah. They come walking in. Vic, what are you doing down here in Florida? You want a job with GBN? Folks, I had no thoughts about GBN. Never applied to GBN. Didn't hardly know what it was. Guess what? Got a job working with them. You see, sometimes we just what? We just stumble on opportunities, don't we? Now notice, sometimes opportunity seeks us out. We're not looking for it, but guess what? It is looking for us. Isn't that the way it was with Paul? Paul had somebody seeking him out. And that individual who was seeking him was none other than God Almighty, wasn't he? Ananias was told to go to Saul and talk to him. And I want you to tell him this. He is a chosen vessel unto me, unto the Gentiles. He had no clue of that. He hated the church. He despised the church. And now he finds out God wants you to be one of his apostles. Just sought him out, didn't he? Happens all the time in real life too, doesn't it? Oh yes, these guys have gone and they've played football during high school. They've tried to be the very best they can possibly be, and most of them are. And then all of a sudden what happens? Colleges want them, don't they? They start getting these letters. They start getting these invitations. They get to go to the campus. They get these gifts. They get all these things. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to recruit those individuals. Somebody is seeking them out to give them what? An opportunity. And how about this one, folks? Providence. The providence of God sometimes provides us with opportunity. Isn't that true in the life of Joseph? Can you imagine Joseph, what he thought in his life? My brothers hate me. I'm sold into slavery. I'm accused of trying to have a sexual relationship with a man's wife. I'm thrown into prison. Well, this is a fun life. And yet when he gets to the end of it all, he knows, doesn't he? His father dies, his brothers are scared to death that he's going to put them to death, and they go to him, they make an appeal, and he tells them, don't fear. And then he says this, as for you, ye meant it unto the evil, but God meant it unto good, to make it come to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Genesis 50, verse 10. Folks, the providence of God opened up doors of opportunity for Joseph. And now he sat where? Now he sat second in command in the land of Egypt. Not by his own choosing, not because he wanted life to happen that way, but because God provided those opportunities. Sometimes a person comes into our life. We have no clue who who this individual is, and yet he opens up doors of opportunity, doesn't he? Sometimes you and I experience a loss in our lives, and we think it's the most awful thing that's ever happened to us, and yet it's a door of opportunity. Sometimes we go through the hardest hardships imaginable, and we find out on the other side, wow, had I not gone through all of that, I'd never have the life that I have now. Folks, sometimes God's in charge of our lives more than we know. And the providence of God is bringing opportunity in our lives. Now, the reality is this. Point number three. When an opportunity comes our way, we can do one of two things with that opportunity. We can grab it, seize it, and use it to our advantage, or we can simply dismiss it, can't we? Esther. Now, she had to be convinced a little bit, but she finally seized the opportunity, didn't she? Here was a man about to put her nation to death. Esther, you have to go in and you have to talk to the king. You have to convince him that there's got to be something that can be done to save our nation. What does Esther say? I will go in unto the king, which is not according to law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther 4, verse 14. Or 16. Folks, she took advantage of the opportunity, didn't she? But then we find another, a king by the name of Agrippa. Who did he have standing before him but none other than the Apostle Paul? And Paul preaches and Paul teaches this particular individual, and he asks him, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. And old Agrippa missed the opportunity. And Agrippa said unto him, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He missed the opportunity. Folks, we don't read anywhere in Scripture where Agrippa ever had another opportunity or where he ever obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we said at the outset of this lesson that life is filled with what? Life is filled with missed opportunities. Let me ask you something. When you miss an opportunity, how do you feel? You know, there's some individuals, when they miss an opportunity, they are deeply, deeply concerned about missing the opportunity. There are some individuals who are deeply grieved because they've missed the opportunity. There are some individuals who have much sorrow because they missed the opportunity. There are some individuals who, once they miss an opportunity, folks, they plead and they beg to have another opportunity. Do you remember the five virgins who didn't have enough oil for their lamp? They go into the city and buy oil, and while they're gone, the bridegroom comes. They go into the wedding feast and the door is shut, and then they show up, don't they? The Bible says, and then the five virgins came and knocked on the door and said, Lord, open unto us! Open unto us! Can you imagine how those five virgins felt because they missed the opportunity? Deep concern because they missed it. But there's another reaction that some have toward opportunity is this. They don't have any concern at all. because they've missed an opportunity. None. Here's the way they act. So what? Who cares? Oh well. It's just a little thing. Ain't no big thing. How about this one? That's nothing really important. I don't need to bother with that. I already know all that information. There's other things that are a lot more important. I don't need that in my life. Or we convince ourselves what? Well, there'll be another opportunity down the road. Folks, all of those are statements that indicate the person really could care less whether they had the opportunity or not, whether they missed the opportunity or not. Who cares, they say. Sad, isn't it? Opportunities have consequences, point five. Folks, if an opportunity comes our way and we grab hold of that opportunity like Esther does and we seize it, there are advantages, unbelievable advantages that can come to our life. Anybody ever heard of Bitcoin? Yeah, I've heard about it. Don't know much about it, preacher. Old Bitcoin, old digital stuff. 10 years ago, 2012 February, you could have bought Bitcoin for $1 a coin. $1 a coin. Just 10 years ago, folks. The month that just passed, February 2022, Bitcoin, one coin, now can be bought for $43,193. One coin. Anybody buy it when it was a buck? Just one? Did you just buy one? Not a soul in this audience. We all missed the opportunity. Now here's what's amazing. If 10 years ago you'd bought $100, you got $100 to waste? Yes, you do. You filling up your gas tank for that now. Just think, 10 years ago, if I could have bought Bitcoin, 100 coins, that's all I want, folks, today, you'd have $4,319,300. That's just $100. Put 1,000 in it. You'd be living on an island somewhere. You see, there's advantage of what? There's advantage in seizing an opportunity. We made mention of a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. Ananias was sent to him and he was told, Saul, God believes that you are a chosen vessel unto him to take the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. He wants you to be as an apostle. Folks, Saul was met with a decision, was he not? Guess what he did? He seized the opportunity, didn't he? And when he reached the end of his life, he says this, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Wow. Unbelievable, isn't it? He seized the opportunity. And folks, Paul, rather than losing his soul, gained his soul, didn't he? When my mom and dad married, my dad was not a faithful Christian. He was unfaithful. My mother was a Methodist. I remember when I was a little bitty boy, 3 or 4 years old, we had a Methodist church right around the corner. And that's where we went to church. I still remember it. Aldersgate Methodist Church. My dad, however, grew up in the church. My dad knew the truth. Over the course of time, he says, you know, I know this isn't right. I know this isn't acceptable unto God. So at first he compromised with my mom and they went to a Christian church. It was known as, listen to me, the Knight Arnold Road Christian Church. Why that one? I don't know. I remember going there. We were friends with the preacher. He had two sons and boy, we were close. We played together all the time after church. Over the course of just a few months, my dad said, you know, I know this instrument of music and worship is not acceptable unto the Almighty God. I just can't keep doing this. You want to know what was right down the street, about a quarter of a mile? The Knight Arnold Church of Christ, home of the Memphis School of Preaching. We started attending there when I was in fourth grade. 1982, Victor Eskew is a graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching. And I've been preaching the gospel of Christ for the last 40 years, folks. Now, what if? What if my dad had not taken advantage of the opportunity of that church right down the street? What if he'd not taken advantage of the teachings that he had received as a young man in a Christian home? I probably wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be standing here today. I'll guarantee you. Folks, when you seize opportunities, there's advantages. But now note, if you fail to take advantage of opportunity, there's consequences. Remember, when we're born, we're blessed with what? We are blessed with good health. We need to take advantage of the opportunity, but so many don't. They smoke, they drink, they do all kinds of crazy stuff, and then they wake up with all kinds of health problems, sickness and disease, and maybe even death at a young age. All because of what? A failure to take advantage of opportunity. Anybody know Judas? What an opportunity. Isn't it true? Here's a man who had the privilege of living in the first century, who somehow, we're not told how, but somehow he crossed paths with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was intrigued by Jesus' teachings so much so that he became a disciple of Jesus. And not just any disciple, but a disciple that stood out above the others, so much so that when it came time for Jesus to choose an apostle, he was one of the 12. The highest office a person can hold in the church, as far as a human is concerned, an apostle of Jesus Christ, one sent. And he lost the opportunity, didn't he? I just can't imagine. The Bible says, from which, talking about his apostleship and ministry, from which Judas fell, or by transgression fell, and he went to his own place. Folks, his life ended in tragedy, did it not? He committed suicide. And the only end that he has waiting for him is eternal damnation in a devil's hell. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he missed his opportunity. Now you might be asking a question. What is the why of this lesson? And I've got a why behind it. And here's the why. many members of the Lord's church miss opportunities all the time that are presented to them. All the time. What are you talking about, preacher? Bible classes, worship services, good works, gospel meetings. Have 83 on Sunday morning for a gospel meeting, barely make 40 the rest of the week. Even though our church is around 60 to 65 in number. Miss fellowships. Church gets together, enjoy one another's company, fellowship with one another, share with one another. Not there. The opportunity to have relationships with others. Is there anybody in this congregation you don't know very well? Why? Why? We need to get to know them, don't we? They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. People we've been worshiping with for years, and we don't even know them. Oh yeah, we say hi to them. Hi. How you? I'm fine. Bye. And we don't see them again for a week. Folks, visitors come into this congregation, and we just sit there. And we hope they come back, and they don't, and we wonder why we never even said hi to them. What's that all about? What are you doing? How you doing? We're glad you're here. Got anywhere you want to go to eat after this is over? We'll take you out to eat. No, we just sit there, keep our pew warm. We don't want anybody to get it. God forbid that happen. Folks, we got to get serious about this stuff. We miss opportunities all the time. Now, remember what I said in the lesson? Some people, when they miss an opportunity, they don't care. Who cares? That long list of things that we read a while ago applies to the way some people feel about spiritual opportunities. So what? Who cares? It's a little thing. It really doesn't matter. I already know the information. And on it goes. Got two questions. Why such a lack of concern for spiritual opportunities? Why? Only you can answer that if you're not concerned about it. And the second question is this, how do you know? How do you know these opportunities are not beneficial, are not advantageous, will not profit you, your soul, or possibly the soul of someone you know? How do you know? Remember at the beginning of this lesson, we talked about Jesus looking out over the city of Jerusalem. And guess what, folks? Jesus was concerned that those Jews were missing their opportunities. He's concerned. A little bit later in the life of Jesus, He comes back to the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible says this, "And when He was come near, He beheld the city and what? Wept over it." Folks, their rejection of Him, their rejection of their spiritual opportunity made Jesus weep. I wonder if He still weeps today. It saddens the Lord when people miss spiritual opportunities that are presented to them. Here's a question. this morning, if you're here and you've not obeyed the gospel, are you going to miss the opportunity to do that? Here's a point we could have dwelled on a long time and we haven't. But it's this. Folks, opportunities don't always come a second time. You'll never buy Bitcoin for a dollar again. Never. You know what the predictions of it are? $100,000 within the next year. You'll never buy Bitcoin for a dollar. It's gone. You may never have the opportunity to obey the gospel, to take a class, to come to a meeting, to be at a VBS, to be at a good work of the church ever again. You may never have that opportunity. You could die today. Our Lord could return today. And those opportunities are gone. Opportunities seized or opportunities gained. You need to obey the gospel through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Won't you do that this morning? If you're an erring child of God, folks, what a wonder. Just think about the opportunity we have. We know the truth. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We're members of the body of Christ. We've been well-pleasing in the sight of God the Father. And then we give that up for what? For what? If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Would you be freed from the burden?